Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Make it all taste good.
Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Welcome on back. And a big thank you to Chris Ann Hall for coming on, our constitutional expert and attorney. The Government Can by Tim Hawkins. The song is hilarious. Anyway, I welcome you back. Make sure and go to katedalyradio.com for all the recorded podcasts of this live show. And welcome to all of our global listeners around the world. Really appreciate you tuning in. Of course, in this segment, I'd love to bring on Byron York. Byron York has a new book, Obsession, Inside the Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump. He is the chief political correspondent for Washington Examiner and Fox News contributor, revealing this exclusive, never-before-shared bombshells from on-the-record interviews with dozens of Trump administration officials, DOJ leaders, and, of course, anti-Trump elitists, on exposing just how far they have gone as far as trying to come up with anything they could possibly come up with in the last 4 years. It's been nauseating. It's been long. It's been exhausting. Welcome to the show, Byron York. Glad you're with us to spread some, to share with us some of these bombshells and spread some information, some real information on this.
Well, thanks for having me, and I hope reading it will not be exhausting.
No, and of course, you know what? I think everybody just wants to know what in the world, why all of this has gone on for 4 years, and I really appreciate you shedding light on this. The book, again, is Obsession, Inside the Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump, really shedding some light on some of the issues. First question I have for you, why Donald Trump at first resisted advice to fire James Comey? Did he get that advice? What happened there?
Well, that's one of the origin facts of this whole whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
And during the transition, a number of Trump's advisors, we're talking Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, Jeff Sessions, advised him, urged him to fire James Comey. Just tell him during the transition, your services will not be needed after January 20th, 2017, Inauguration Day.
Mm.
And they said they thought that Comey was erratic. They thought he was a loose cannon.
Mm-hmm.
They thought he was self-righteous. They thought he had completely mishandled the Hillary Clinton email case. Now, it's not because they were sympathetic to Hillary Clinton, but they thought, well, if he messes this up like this, he's going to mess something up for you when you're president.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Christie said, he's a loose cannon, and if you keep him after you're president, he will be your loose cannon.
Mm.
And one of the things I wanted to know, I thought, well, all of that's great advice, but how come he didn't take it? And
right.
He did not fire James Comey. And
right.
Basically, it comes down to he thought he could win Comey over. Trump has been in business for decades.
Sure.
And he believed in the power of his own personality and his ability to bring people around to his own side. And he believed he could do that with Comey, and it was a failure. He did not bring Comey around, and it's something that you've seen occasionally with him in Washington, dealing with people who were politically and ideologically motivated, as if they were people who were dealing with him in a business negotiation and more profit motivated, and sometimes it just doesn't work.
Well, it's a good point, though, and it sheds light on, honestly, because you can see that in his personality, in Trump's personality, that he does feel like, you know, why are you not on my side? What is going on here? And I you know, James Comey, I've always thought he was pretty much bought and sold from the beginning, and so I guess a lot of people were pretty shocked that that he stayed on, and of course shocked to this day on all the news that comes out regarding Comey that he's still. Go ahead, Uncle Milty, did you have a question?
Yeah, do you think that's one of the major problems with the president and the way he works, is that he doesn't seem to grasp that the people in government are motivated differently from normal people.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, for example, it might help explain why the president gave 18 interviews to Bob Woodward. I mean, he thought he could bring him around.
Right.
He thought Trump had powers, belief in his own powers of persuasion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't work with people who are politically motivated, who are ideologically motivated. It's just, in Washington, it's not nearly as effective as it is in New York real estate. And that is something the president brought to the office with him. And the voters wanted to elect someone who had not been a politician. But that was part of the deal.
Mm. You also go over in great detail in the book, and Bob Mueller team knew early in the investigation, of course, there was no evidence of Russia collusion. You know what's funny is they never could answer the question, what did Russia get out of it? No que bono. You know, it was never, that question was never addressed in the media whatsoever. But I would love to hear a little bit about this. They knew very early on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that Mueller's main assignment, was to find collusion, which was this theory that the Trump campaign and Russia had conspired to fix the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm.
So after just a huge amount of brouhaha, Mueller is appointed. Trump is shocked when Mueller is appointed. He wasn't expecting it. But then he had to figure out, well, I got to deal with this guy somehow. And it was an extraordinary story. You didn't know it at the time. But Trump actually practice something you might call radical cooperation.
Mm.
Trump wanted once the investigation started, he wanted it over quickly. So he authorized his lawyers to go to Mueller with a deal. And the deal is, President Trump, I want this investigation over yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You, Special Counsel Mueller, you're going to want evidence from me. You're going to want documents and the ability to interview people at the White House. A lot of that's covered by executive privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I could object.
Mm-hmm.
It would go to court. It would take years. But here's the deal. I will give you everything. I'll let you talk to anybody you want to. I'll give you all the documents you want if you'll agree to get this over quickly. Mm-hmm. Mueller says, I don't let grass grow under my feet. And there's a handshake deal between John Dowd, the president's lawyer, and Mueller. It was never written down. It was never signed. It was a handshake deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump holds up his end of the deal, and he gives Mueller everything. Now, the first thing Mueller is looking for is collusion. That's his task.
Sure.
And he looks in all the sort of normal places around George Papadopoulos and Carter Page and the Trump Tower meeting and all these various incidents that a lot of the news accounts had said were evidence of collusion. He's not finding it. As we know, in the end, he never established that collusion took place, much
mm-hmm.
less who might have taken part in it. Now, as the months go by, Mueller's appointed in May of 2017. As the months go by, the Trump lawyers know that Mueller has come up dry on collusion. They
mm-hmm.
always knew that he would.
Sure.
So there's this meeting in December of 2017, 6 months into the investigation. And the Trump lawyers say, remember our deal. You've investigated this. You found no collusion. It's time to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mueller side said, no, it's not. We're going to keep going. We're going to look into obstruction of justice. And by the way, we need to talk to the president. And things did not go well after that.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months later, there was a meeting in March of 2018 that got very heated, where the Trump team was saying, listen, you're not going to get to interview the president. And it's time to wrap this up. And Mueller
right.
said, well, maybe I should subpoena him. And that's when John Dowd, the president's lawyer, slams his fist on the table, said, if you do this, you're going to get war, and you're going to lose it. I mean, it was just like in a TV
sure.
show.
Sounds like it.
And the next year of mm-hmm. the investigation was one long fight over whether the president would testify.
Jeez Louise. I mean, the fact that it was given just over 2 years is just kind of amazing when you think about even Watergate. They actually had something. It only took 6 months. The fact that they were given 2 years, I mean, it was insane. It was just the biggest witch hunt. I don't know which is worse, this or the Ukraine witch hunt. Which did you think was more just mind-boggling to you? Which one?
Well, Trump-Russia took a long time, as you point out. What happens is, of course, Trump wins the fight over
right.
testimony. He doesn't testify in person before Mueller. And then what happens is, Democrats win control of the House. A lot of them want to impeach the president. But the attitude is, let's wait for Mueller. Let's wait for Mueller, because when he finishes, they think he's going to find collusion. They think it. And he's going to come down and he's going to bring these stone tablets. It's going to be all of Trump's
right.
crimes. And
right.
he's going to give us a roadmap
mm-hmm.
to impeach the president. And so they're stunned. when the Mueller report comes out in April of 2019, and he cannot establish that collusion took place.
But
you know, they don't drop it. They don't drop it. They say, well, we need to build public support for impeaching Trump over Russia. So then they decide to have public hearings. We need to have a Watergate-style hearing, and Bob Mueller will be the star, and that'll be great. And after that hearing, everybody will want to impeach the president. Turns into a disaster for reasons that we can discuss.
Yeah.
And then the Trump side, Republicans and the lawyers, all begin to kind of relax. They think, wow, this thing has just collapsed on itself. This long Russia ordeal is finally over, and that's just tremendous. Little did they know that at that very moment, Adam Schiff was coming up with another plan, and it would become the whistleblower and Ukraine, and before they knew it, they were off to the races again.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder why all of those political hacks like Adam Schiff came on record as saying they had seen proof right in front of their eyes, yet were never, ever having to be responsible for those kinds of statements since nothing ever was there or came out?
Yeah. Well, that was just TV talk.
Yeah,
I mean, you could say, well, this is absolutely incontrovertible evidence. But if you were a lawyer having to build a case, it wasn't incontrovertible evidence. It wasn't evidence at all.
Right.
But on TV, you can say it,
and
people listen to it.
Wondered.
And one of the things that was interesting was there would be occasions when some news story would pop up in the news cycle that Mueller was closing in on collusion. And CNN would get all excited, and MSNBC would get all excited. But looking back, finding out what was going on behind the scenes at the same time, it was dead. It was a dry hole. They had moved on, but people in the media were acting as if
something
collusion were still alive.
Yeah. Wow, Uncle Milty.
So based on your research, writing the book, do you believe that there's any chance after the president's reelection that there's going to be any relief from these ridiculous allegations one after another, or are we doomed to have another 4 years of this?
I would pick the latter.
Never-ending
means never-ending. And I do think if the president is reelected, that this level of resistance will continue and possibly accelerate. And I think one thing for everybody to be concerned about is the resistance and the most zealous Democrats have already tried the legal and constitutional means prescribed for removing the president. They impeached him. They had a trial. Didn't work. Now, they could impeach him again, and maybe they would. They could see if they could get the 25th Amendment going. So they could try other things, maybe. But you have to worry about their frustration level.
Right.
If the president were reelected, and they've already tried everything they can to get rid of him, because the one thing they appear unwilling to do, ever, is to accept him as president of the United States. So we'd have to see.
That's true. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Byron York, Washington Examiner, and of course, Fox News contributor. The book is called Obsession: Inside the Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump. Obsession. I love that. And you're right. And I actually, I'm glad you wrote this. I'm glad you were exposing this, because I think when people finally realize everything that's gone into this, maybe it can shed light, like you said, with the reelection, on what's coming and be able to shoot some holes through that clearly in the very beginning of what they attempt next. Who knows? Byron York, thank you.
We shall see. Thanks,
yeah, thank you.
Appreciate you. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And the government can't, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution.
Hi there. Little Tim Hawkins for you. Oh, isn't that true? The bailouts, too. Oh, boy. So much to say. By the way, you can call up 888-673-1450. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. Or, like I said, order up. We have things coming this fall, and I sure hope you're getting ready for it, to tell you the truth. I'm just being honest. This is just, Can you feel it? There's just things that are going to be happening. And I just want to make sure that you're taking care of your health. It's the only thing you have control over is your health. And so make sure that you're doing something to shore that up. And go to Balance of Nature, balanceofnature.com. Put in the code Kate, my first name, and you can get 35% off and free shipping. Make sure you're doing this because this is 31 fruits and vegetables a day. This is a product I believe in and take. And of course, when I was doing my research and homework, this was the one that stood out far above, head and shoulders above the rest, was because they were putting so much into this, so many vitamins, so many nutrients, so many minerals, that it's just an amazing product and it's affordable. So what are you waiting for? And order extra. Have extra in your home. Make sure your family's taking this. Our food supply is junk and we need to be taking a supplement. Take this one. This one's amazing. Balanceofnature.com. All the testimonials are real, actually. I love this product. I've got Uncle Milty here. Thank you to Byron York from Fox News and Washington Examiner. And then, of course, Chris Ann Hall in this hour. We were just kind of talking about this a little bit. You know, the president, you know, he doesn't, as far as personality wise, I think he does think he can win people over because it's common sense, right? Mm-hmm. You go, well, I can make you my friend,
sure.
Right? I don't think he realizes people are as bought or blackmailed or whatever they are. and part of this club that they're a part of when he became president. I actually don't think so. I think, yes, he's worked with the mafia. Yes, he's worked with different clubs before. But there's all kinds of different styles of clubs, too. This one's different, the political club.
Especially the progressive political club.
Yeah.
They are so entrenched in their ideology of communism.
To overthrow America.
Yes.
That you would think when you're working with these political hacks that that would not be the ideology or be the goal. That's the goal, though. And I don't think he actually caught on to that early on.
He still hasn't, I think. Mm-hmm. That's my fear. Because if these people, they're all wealthy people.
Yeah.
And yet they want to talk about ending the United States, which enabled them to become wealthy,
right,
and go into communism, which would take away their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't realize that, then the president's not going to win them over.
Right, right. No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. It's a problem with
hopeless.
Their own ideology, their own goals. And, regardless of whether or not they would get along with Trump or want to support him or anything like that. So it is kind of a bizarre, Byron York was on Laura Ingraham. You mm-hmm. saw that interview, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Well, it was a little longer interview, so mm-hmm. there was a little more discussed. But basically, it was this, you know, he the book sounds very good
mm-hmm.
in that it describes the
sheds
inside
mm-hmm.
version of what happened, what we saw on television.
Right.
We get to see behind the scenes, kind mm-hmm. of. But, you know, I asked him a question, and I specifically said, when the president is reelected.
Mm-hmm.
But when he answered it, uh-huh. he said, if the president
I heard that. Uh-huh.
So that kind of said something to me.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing he brought up at that point was that the left is never ever going to accept him as the president of the United States.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do it. So the next 4 years could be even worse than what we've been through in the first 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting is you've got all these bought and sold Congress and Senate members, right? That will vote actually to rid America of being America. I mean, they really will.
Yes.
And so they're not happy with that. They've got to go for the president's spot, too, knowing that the president can't do what Congress is doing, can't do what the Senate, you know, knowing we have branches of government for a reason. It is kind of interesting that they're so relentless in their pursuit of that. That's kind of surprising because if you look at all the things that have been exposed and all of the things that didn't happen under this last 4 years that did happen before, were plane loads of cash being sent out? Were coups happening? Were all of these things going on? Yes, in Obama's and Bush's and Clinton's and through all of the other ones. But those things haven't happened in this one. So, yes, there's a degree of not being able to get somebody to do certain things. I mean, certain things, yes. USMCA. Yeah, they got that horrific thing to go through. But I'm talking about some other things, the blatant things, too, that didn't happen. We never talk about what hasn't gone on
right
in these last 4 years. So, I don't know.
Well, we switched at the end of the impeachment. Mm-hmm. We switched so fast into the election mode that, you know, things changed really quick and the conversation changed really quick. But I don't understand. I really don't. I don't understand how people can actually think this election's going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example of why.
Okay.
Biden spoke in Warren, Michigan yesterday.
Okay.
And when he comes out to speak on camera, on television, all you see is him walking up to the podium and speaking. And he's obviously going back and forth from one teleprompter to another and still making mistakes.
Right.
And every time the teleprompter was pausing.
He would just say,
He would pause.
What?
He would just pause. It would be like the tape stopped. And he would stand and look at the teleprompter until it started back up
like
again.
Like the little wheel on your computer screen turning. Got
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
The freeze mode.
That's not the big deal. But there came a point where he said something that should have garnered applause. Like the president, you know, people start yelling and screaming and yelling, and we love you. But, well, at that point in this speech, people did start applauding, and it literally sounded like it was five people applauding.
Like the slow clap?
Like five people. And it was embarrassing.
Right,
and he, you could see on his face, he realized something's not right. But they never showed the crowd.
Right.
Well, that evening, Lawrence Jones on Fox News had been there, and he did show the crowd.
Right.
And it literally was about 12 Biden supporters there, along with his staff. There were five times as many Trump supporters there protesting Biden as the people there for Biden.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. It's almost like worse than the green screen. See, the green screen for Hillary, they could have at least, you know, like made stuff up. But this was pretty, like, this is all there is.
But Michigan's supposed to be a battleground state.
Right, right.
And right now, Biden's supposed to have the lead there. But the night before, the president's in Michigan, and he's got 60,000 people, it looks like, there. And Biden goes the next day, and he's got 12 people. How can we believe it's a battleground state that Biden's in the lead in?
I don't know, but they're trying hard. They got Zuckerberg out in front looking like a little robot. He looks totally different than he did a decade ago, by the way. He looks scary. And he's out there saying, oh, just so you know, it'll look and appear like it's a landslide. But at the end of the day, no, everyone's voting for Biden. And I can't stop laughing about that because it's just so ridiculous. I mean, really and truly, come on.
At the end of the interview there with Byron York, he said, you know, they've tried every legal way to get rid of the president. They don't have many options left.
I heard that, too.
Yeah. And that sounded pretty ominous coming from Byron York. In that, what are their options?
Right.
A total coup?
Yeah.
So they're setting it up for that already with this talk about, well, it may look like a landslide, but, you know, it's not really.
Even Deutsche Bank got on board and said this is the next decade will be complete disorder. I mean, they're making everyone believe it's going to be the worst of the worst of the worst unless we strong arm you into putting the most leftist progressive duo on. In office. And
Well, and that really shows that this is far more than just an election in the United States.
Right.
This is the world hanging in the balance. I really believe that now. This is a globalist takeover of the world, and they have to take down the United States to make it work. They have to. And they're not going to stop.
Yeah. And this road would certainly be the quick way. They were able to, you know, it would be the fastest way because they are unabashedly going after this. They are blatantly being supported by the Communist Party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so over the top. It's so over the top that you would think that they would shy away from this kind of language. They would. No. In fact, they're at the point now where they think people are so complacent that they'll just... they'll just ramrod right over everything in order to do that quickly. It's just the quicker road is what it is out of the two roads.
Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, who will be the vice president if he wins, actually has said blatantly, if Biden doesn't win, there's going to be even more violence.
Yeah. Promising. What? Yeah. Promising.
I mean, is that a threat?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, even, you know how I feel about the sides, but even, do you hear that coming from the right?
No.
No, of course not. You don't hear that coming that way.
What you do hear, though, from the right is good luck to them because we're prepared to defend ourselves.
We got some problems, people. The Deutsche Bank was actually saying this is the age of disorder. They want to make you very, very uncomfortable. The World Bank came out and on their document for funding said that the coronavirus was not, the COVID will end 2025. They do have their plans, but it doesn't mean they have to go through. So,
if COVID doesn't end until 2025, then it actually will never end.
Yeah.
Because all of the policies put into place to save us from the nasty little virus will be used in other ways.
Yeah.
Those same policies.
Right. Still to this day, 260,000 people every single year from flu and pneumonia die every single year, 260,000. We've been marking them since February 9th, COVID, as we just gave it a different name. And we're at 200,000?
Not quite.
Not even quite 200,000.
Can't get there. There's actually not enough people dying.
We're actually below the number. What does that even tell you?
Yeah. And yet they've predicted that by December it'll be 300,000+.
I also want to say this. AstraZeneca put out a thing that said, we had an adverse reaction. Okay, you know why they did this, right? They did this because they want to prolong. See, they have complete liability, no liability whatsoever. They were given zero liability. So the only reason I think they came out with this was to say, we're gonna drag this out longer. Yeah, we're on your side, people. No, I'm serious.
I think there was a second reason.
Okay.
They were trying to build confidence in the people that you'll be able to take it because we are trying to be use safety protocols here.
Yes, but that's my point is that we're going to take a little longer. We're going to make sure that you're okay because what did they just come out with? They said that vaccine was going to come out November 3rd and then they switched gears and now it's middle of 2021.
Well, it also looked pretty suspicious coming out just before the election.
November 3rd.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? And so don't think for a second they're on your side. They have zero liability, so they don't care about putting junk in you. They don't care what it's going to do to you. One person's adverse reaction.
Yeah, that's stopped them.
Uh-huh. Don't believe that for a second. What a bait and switch. This kind of stuff is what drives me mad it's insane. It's just insane. I just sometimes don't even have any words for this anymore. If we just continue to believe it. I don't know what's wrong with us. I really don't. I don't know what's wrong with us. By the way, taking you just as I know we're coming up to the end of this, but there was an article put out, I guess we're in the year 1910. The driver was stopped for speeding with running a load of moonshine in gallon jugs in North Carolina.
No.
Yeah. You go, mister. You put that moonshine in those gallons and you run it across that border.
That's funny.
Oh, gosh. Come on, I had to give you a smile today. Anyway, we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. Don't go anywhere.